Welcome, 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 welcome. We're back. This is BTSE's podcast, meeting you where you are. I am the one, the only, the infamous Chris Simon.
Boo.
And I'm here with this hater.
Jada McCray, that be me.
The hate in her blood.
World class hater.
Fresh off of yoga, they already got the hate in your blood.
Listen,
you're gonna be relaxing.
I'm so relaxed. Like, you may catch me snoring.
I think
this
I was
podcast.
Snoring.
Yes, you were snoring at yoga.
I was snoring at yoga.
Yes, you were.
I woke up and like, oh, did like, she say do something? I was laying and people were standing. I'm like, oh, maybe I missed the cue.
I was like, bro, is that his asthma acting up or?
That was Ashley breathing.
Oh, he's so horrible.
Like, Ashley over there sound like she lifting weights.
It's so rude.
No, it was, I was tired.
Yeah, it was fantastic, though. The benefits of yoga, and as much as we complained about our shoulders and hand placements for downward dog, actually having your head below your heart creates a euphoric feeling. I definitely needed that because this morning I was on a rampage.
See, my problem is that I just can't focus. Like, I have all these random thoughts about things I'm supposed to be doing, ideas I have just flowing through my brain, so it's very hard for me to turn it off.
It's okay. Like, part of yoga is you are a third-party witness. And so you're supposed to just witness yourself having the thoughts. So, let them flow out.
Do you close your eyes?
Sometimes I close my eyes and then sometimes I have what's called a soft gaze.
What?
A soft gaze.
A soft gaze.
Yeah, meaning that you're not focused or looking at anything in particular. It's just kind of like a little twilighty.
Daydreaming.
But not daydreaming. It's called yoga practice because it's not a competition. It's just something that you practice to just become more and more familiar with so that you can, it's every time you do yoga, it's a new experience. And just appreciate the newness of it and the experience of it. And think about it like this. How many things in your life are you new at? That you get to learn, that you get to be a fresh student. So you are a fresh student of yoga, as am I. And we should just appreciate the fact that it's something new to learn.
I do. I just don't know where to put my eyes. A lot of times I close them.
You can close them.
I close them.
Yeah.
And then I peek out of like one eye. You know how you slightly
you
open the one?
Yeah.
Just to make sure that my positions are correct with everybody else's.
Oh my gosh. It is not a competition.
No, I just want to make sure I'm doing it right.
Yeah. Well, you know, they'll come around. They'll correct you. And
but my brain is like all over the place. Like I said, when we was leaving there, a massage takes me 59 minutes to unrelax and then 1 minute for the massage.
Yeah, I get it.
Because, you know.
You should also maybe try some meditation and meditative breathing techniques for you about 5 minutes a day to help you kind of. My brain is the same way where it's all just 50 million things running through all the time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those breathing techniques help to just kind of bring some calm to it.
Gotcha. Well, we're not going to bore these people with yoga today.
Mm-mm. Even though it's interesting, though.
It is. Also interesting, last Sunday, so this Sunday I'm going to see a stage play. It's called, you should come with me.
Mama Burn My Grits.
No, it's The Meeting with Martin and Malcolm.
Oh, okay, I've heard of that before.
So it's like these guys, they're actors, is at Arena Players, and they're redoing, did Martin and Malcolm ever meet?
I'm sure they did.
Okay, well, they had this meeting, and they're doing this play about like what it was about. Mm-hmm. And I saw a brief snippet of it, and it's really good. Mm-hmm. I think Sundays are like my relaxing, but then my conscious days now. Because last Sunday, I saw Black Panther.
It was amazing.
It was. Mm-hmm. And being that this is the end, this is probably our last podcast of Black History Month.
It is.
I figured that we'd talk about the Black Panther.
Oh my gosh, what an experience.
It was. I really liked it.
You
took your whole family to see it.
Yeah, I had actually
neglected to take my son.
Chris Simon likes to spring things on you last minute. It was a thing with my family. First, let me just say that we go
so
to
we
see
not family.
We cool. We family. We
oh,
family.
We cool. Oh, all right.
No.
Oh, all right.
So listen, my mother was mad about the same thing though, and I told her I didn't think about it that way. But what we done, my family and I, me, my husband, and my kids, every Marvel movie that comes out, we always make it a point to go see the Marvel movies because we all like them. So anyway, when Black Panther, he was in The Last Avengers, and so we were excited to know. First of all, Chadwick Boseman is amazing in pretty much everything he does.
Black Panther was in The Last Avengers?
Yes, he was, and so. We always go see the Marvel movies that come out, but this time, because it was Black Panther, I ordered our t-shirts online. We were ready. I ordered our tickets in advance.
You didn't have t-shirts. If we're going to keep it 100.
Bro, I had t-shirts.
No.
Bro,
you
I
had full Coming to America African garb. You look like Hakeem's mother.
What is that, velvet?
The boy from Africa. Hey, the family from Africa.
Listen, we were so excited about it, and we had our whole day planned. We took the kids out of school early for it.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot believe it is you.
I cannot believe it.
That's how Jada was walking to people in the movie theater.
Hey, Oleon. But we were super excited to go see it, and it was amazing. We called it Black Panther Day.
Black Panther
Day. We called it Black Panther Day.
It was amazing. I took... So when you neglected to take my son...
He is awful.
I felt obligated.
We love Carson.
I felt obligated to take my son. And you know, not obligated. I actually was looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know what the hype was about. I'm like, this is just a superhero movie or something? I don't get it. I don't understand why everybody is so pumped about this. And I was like, Jada, is this like a subliminal... Black thing or something that's going on that I'm missing here?
Is that a cultural moment that
I'm
missing?
Yeah, I'm like, yo, what's going on here? Is this really like Black equality is not really a superhero movie?
Oh, it was a moment.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to go check it out. And so when I went to check it out, I walked away like amazed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was everything plus some of what I needed, you know what I mean?
What was it that was so, what struck you?
It was several things, honestly. It was some of the things that I've been thinking about in my mind that I wanted to implement, things that I had already begun to implement, and where my thoughts was going, my perspective, my viewpoint on things, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
About family.
Mm-hmm.
So from the family perspective, seeing how what his father said, I would be unsuccessful as a father if I didn't raise you to be king, if I didn't prepare you to be king.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me think about me as a father, am I preparing my son to be king? And I know, you know, like some of the stuff that I do, like mind you now, I am a full-time parent.
Mm-hmm.
Like not a full-time, I'm primary parent for one of my kids.
Yeah.
Not because of any like separational issues, but because I've decided to take this role on. So I take him to school, get him ready in the morning, I pick him up from school at 3, and then I'm basically 100% locked into that moment as best as possible till 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So during these things, I want to try to teach him about not just his schoolwork and all this other stuff, but instilling confidence in him, instilling like where he comes from, like who he is as an individual, building that confidence in him. You know what I mean? So that kind of resonated with me. And then also, but also with like the family, how like, the family structure was good. You know, they celebrated each other.
Mm-hmm.
The mother was proud of her son, but I could see that she also would have been, if they've shown like a submissive wife to her king. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's a rough word right there. But go ahead.
Not saying submissive.
I know what you mean.
It's
go ahead.
In a negative way, but
no,
you can see how she can accept his leadership by him being king, the way she was willing to follow her son who was now king. You know,
totally
what I'm saying?
Understand that. Yes.
So, that. And then also one of the biggest things was just a reminder how strong, talented, educated, and like poised Africans are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying Africans because it came from Africa, but I'm connecting it with African Americans as well. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But the disadvantage of that, it's like we lack in a diaspora component, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you think about it, I have Jewish friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to track their heritage and where they come from. They are able to practice the norms of theirs. So whether it's a wedding ritual, whatever it is, whether it's a worship practice, you know what I'm saying? And then the same for some of my Nigerian homeboys.
Mm-hmm.
They wear that African garb and they have celebratory practices for different things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any of that.
But I think that I appreciated it so much just because I think it was very allegorical. I think it spoke...
What?
Allegory. You know what an allegory is.
I don't know what an allegory is.
You know what an allegory
is. Alligator is.
Oh my gosh. It spoke volumes between this this relationship between Africans and African Americans also, but also I saw a lot of Killmonger, the frustration that we as African Americans have, and this feeling of being here without a culture, being a people deprived of their land, displaced people, and also feeling as if we are forgotten and we were lost, when that was not the case. I think a lot of times you have to be mindful of the history and read deeper into the history. The Africans whose families were taken onto slave ships, you'll often hear, oh, they were sold by their own people. Well, it had absolutely nothing to do with color then. And if you are really mindful of it, the same way that when the slaves were taken here, they were taken away from families. So the same way that the mothers loved their sons, the same way you love your son, you know, mothers love their sons and fathers love their sons, and they went looking for their people. And a lot of wars were fought trying to get those families back and to get those family members back. So we weren't forgotten. And the people still cry out for us, and we still cry out for them. There was a disconnection there that happened. And I understand that's what, when you think about what happens with us with mental illness in a lot of ways, we have a lot of children that feel lost and abandoned. And instead of saying, I'm hurt, there's this anger, there's this frustration, because there's a longing for connection there that you were talking about that's not being met and not being fulfilled.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about doing one of those swab things, you know what I mean? Where,
AfricanAncestry.com.
Yeah, something like that to see. Because, you know, Africa's a big place. So for us to be like, we're African Americans, so that means we came from Africa, you know? Mm-hmm. But where?
But where in Africa?
Where? What was the tribe, whatever, or what are the norms of this subset of Africans, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That I actually wouldn't mind knowing, you know? Because it just made me feel like I was missing something, like, dang. When they was doing the challenge thing, you know what I'm saying? And that was a ritual of how they challenged in the practice. Uh-huh. I was like, I would like to have some of that discipline or that type of ritual in my life, you know what I'm saying?
And respect for the culture.
And respect for the culture.
This is what this means.
Yes, this is what they went through. This is how it happened. This is how, this was the plight of where we currently stand, you know?
What do you think about this, though? Because I think about us as African Americans. People swear that we don't have a culture, yet we have a very rich culture that impacts and affects the rest of the world. So if you look at the culture that we have in African Americans, we are kind of taught to be ashamed of it, and people throw it in our faces. Oh, you guys do this. Or, for instance, at NYU for Black History Month, they did something that was supposed to be offensive with fried chicken and watermelon and all of those things. Things that you're taught that as your culture, things that we do, or we may have at a cookout or whatever, we're taught to be ashamed of those things. Like, why is it that that's something that we're ashamed of? Or hip hop culture, we're taught that that's it's not appropriate.
First of all,
something
you should be ashamed
offensive.
Of fried chicken because it's not good for you.
No, I mean, but not
it's
ashamed
crazy.
Of it.
It'll clog up your
but
arteries.
Think about it like this: neither Chinese dumplings, and nobody tries to. You know what I'm saying? Like,
true.
They're not made to feel ashamed of that. And if there were an Asian History Month or Chinese New Year, if that were on the menu, I don't think that would be offensive to Chinese people. So why are we taught the things that are historically and culturally ours, something to be offended and ashamed of, and taught to be feel defensive about it, or feel less than?
That's actually a good point.
When people, KFC is not owned by Black people, which is fried chicken, but nobody is, you know, like, why is that something that we should be ashamed of?
That is actually a great point.
You have to really think about who controls the narrative about your people and what that means. So
is like this depiction of somebody like face in watermelon, like it's sloppy, like it looks good, but it's like you're being a glut, or like you're being less classy.
Yeah, like, oh, okay, well, you go eat watermelon, or they're going to have... Remember when Obama came into office and they said that some state dinner, oh, I guess they'll be serving collard greens. Or serving greens or something like that. Then all of a sudden, kale is like the hot thing.
Yeah.
So we've been eating collard greens and kale for generations. And then all of a sudden, like, and it's something for us to be ashamed of. But if you want a kale salad, then all of a sudden that's the hotness.
It's all good. And,
you know,
I think it's residue from those, you know what I mean, turning our people against each other.
Yeah.
The interracial racism. But that's the thing, is that we don't really have... Well, you know what? You're right. Because Janine actually says the same thing. She's like, I understand wanting to have the connection with Africa and all that stuff. She wants to have it as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hers just might be South Africa.
She want to go visit Cape Town?
I'm just kidding. She says that we also should want to have a connection, that we are African Americans, are mixed up of so much that we should embrace each part of us, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I know I have Irish. I'm also, my grandmother was Indian and Irish, you know? So it's like, I should embrace that. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, hey, you know what? If you can't find your way back to Africa for every part, embody all of the parts of you. You know what I mean?
I would want to do that, but then I wonder why we are always so celebratory of everything else that African Americans, we're literally this country's melting pot.
Yes.
There's not a lot of things, you know, I laugh on, I don't really, I mean, I make green pancakes on St. Patrick's Day, but that's because I pretty much celebrate every holiday. You saw my kids on Valentine's Day with matching outfits on. Like, I celebrate every holiday. But my name is Jada McKinney McCray. Mm-hmm. If there's anybody who should be drinking green beer on St. Patrick's Day, it should be me.
Why?
However,
that?
Because McKinney McCray, those are like...
Those are Irish names?
Yes, that's my maiden name and my married name. My husband has a red beard. But with that aside, we still strongly identify with African American. And I think that's because we've been so taught to celebrate the other parts of ourselves or hang on to that one relative that may have this or may have that, but not embrace.
You know, I got
the
Indian in my family,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I got that good hair. Like, yeah.
One little curl in your hair.
But it's like, yo, why does that have to be good hair? Like,
exactly.
Why is everything comparison? It's like, hey, if my hair is thicker and not as straight,
yeah,
why is the straight one fine and this one is nappy?
Because that's the internalized depression.
Exactly.
So if you want to control the people, and I take it back to slavery, the reason why we don't have that heritage is because we were separated by language. The reason why we don't, you know, we were separated and taught not to speak our language. We were separated and taught not to have the customs of our tribe. But some of those things have leaked in. Just like we were talking about hip hop before, like that's a griot style of communication and that goes directly back to Africa. If you look at some of the ways that we prepare our foods, it goes directly back to Africa. Even the way that we express and we worship in church, a lot of that goes directly back to Africa.
Send the Calvary law.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So like, I mean, if you go to, you know, if you go to a black church, it is very different than if you go to a church of another culture. We're all Christians, but it's a very different expression, you know? And even the dancing and the shouting and the Holy Ghost and the Spirit, you can see a lot of those things. And as I start to move my hands, like I'm in the Holy Ghost, you know, having the Holy Ghost. But a lot of those can... A lot of those go directly back to Africa. So why do we not celebrate those roots? And it's because we're taught that there's something wrong with it. It's something to be downplayed.
Yeah. So that brings me to my next point, right?
What's your next point, Chris?
My next point is the movie. I've been in this place, and the movie especially, make me feel like we need to be pro-black on a lot of stuff. And when you say pro-black, right, people always think that pro-black means anti-white, anti-anything that's not black. And it's not. It's just saying that, hey, this is where I feel like there's a focus, something that I need to pursue, and that I need to take the effort to be proactively representing or advocating for these things and have pride in these things. Doesn't mean I can't have pride or that I feel whatever about my Jewish buddies, my Hispanic buddies, my Caucasian buddies. It's not saying that it does not have any reflection of that. It's just saying that I should be prideful about who I am just as much as my Jewish buddies are prideful about who they are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But you got to think that we live in a country where the statement Black Lives Matter causes people to feel, people get angry. Yes. There's this visceral reaction when you just make the statement that Black Lives Matter. Because Black Lives Matter actually started off as Black Lives Matter 2, T-O-O. And they cut it off because it just was easier to say Black Lives Matter and it was more of a hook and it hooked, you know, was in your ear.
Yeah.
But people have this visceral response and then, well, all lives matter. Well, we don't disagree that all lives matter, but the feeling is that they don't, because when Black people are murdered and killed in the street, there's not the same response. So for us, we really literally want to stand up and say, hey, Black lives matter.
Yeah.
And the fact that that bothers you, because I don't disagree that Asian lives matter or Indian lives matter or white lives matter. No, they do all matter. However,
and they're being shown that they matter.
And it's shown that they matter
because they're not being killed the same at the disproportionate rate.
And it's really clear. I mean, it's clear in a lot of different ways what's more important when you see, for instance, when you see a missing child on a poster or whatever. If there's a missing white child on a poster, it's plastered everywhere. Girls were literally missing by the black girls were missing by the dozens, and it was thought that maybe it was the sex trade, and there was pretty much no coverage on it except for black social media.
Yeah.
So there's this thing like, you know, one little white girl goes missing, and my heart I'll repost that too, because my heart cries for any mother that's missing a child. But little black girls go missing, and it's just like in the droves, and no one
bats an eyelash. And then it's also like the criminal system, mm-hmm. and we're going to have State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby on in a few weeks.
Okay.
But you see, like, a guy that carried a gun or something like that, mm-hmm. or was involved in some type of thing, he gets charged, a 16, 17-year-old, mm-hmm. being tried as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get somebody older than him that shot up the school, and they're saying he's a misunderstood kid.
Yes.
Like, what?
Or where, I Can't Breathe, was it Eric Garner, I Can't Breathe, when he was selling something on the street.
Lucy,
versus,
he was selling
cigarettes. Lucy's on the street. So he was pretty much killed. He wasn't pretty much, because he was killed. And it was a lot of force that was to take him down and all of this stuff. And they made all of these excuses for why. But then you have this man who killed 17 people.
Exactly.
And he was walked out and just
was
as
captured.
Nicely captured. He was captured.
Yo, there are people who get pulled over in traffic jams who get shot.
Sandra Bland on her way to, you know.
But you can capture a school shooter.
Mm-hmm.
What?
While the armed security guard stood outside.
That somebody is clearly armed, mm-hmm. that has taken down several people.
Mm-hmm.
But you went into a restraint type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't feel threatened at that moment. But when you're the police officer on the outside of the car, mm-hmm. with a gun and a person inside with their hands on the wheel, you feel threatened.
You feel threatened. You really have to. What is what
I
it
think
is?
That
is,
maybe they have the wrong people at the wrong jobs. We need to get the people who on these SWAT teams right. to work on
traffic
the street, traffic stops, and get these traffic officers to go defend the schools and hotel shootings and stuff like that.
It's insane. And what the thing is, we're not crazy. So don't allow your voice to be quieted because you don't want to die.
Yes.
Like you know, what is that quote? If you're silent, they'll kill you and say that you enjoyed it. Is that, I'm not quoting it directly, but you know, so you have to say something. So you can't be quiet. And for us, we have children, we have people that we love and that we care about, and they're not humanized.
I want to give you something to think about while we talk about this police thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to mention this when we talk to our state's attorney. Any other profession, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do they say? Like when cops kill people, like, you know, it's just a few bad apples we got to work through,
yes.
this, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was watching this Chris Rock Netflix thing. Did you see that?
I saw part of it, yeah.
And he was like, in any other profession,
uh-huh.
if you're a pilot and planes crash, we're like, we just mm-hmm. got a few bad apples.
Mm-hmm.
What? That is not an acceptable practice. You're not going to
really
go book with United Air and they say, hey, you know, we just got a few bad apples. We're trying to weed them out.
Or brain surgeons.
Yeah, got a few bad apples. So it's not acceptable to have a few bad apples in these capacities.
Mm-hmm.
But in this capacity, mm-hmm. we're supposed to accept the fact that there's a few bad apples.
A few bad apples. And I have relatives that are police officers. And my father was a serviceman. My uncles were servicemen. You know, I have a little cousin right now. She's in the Navy.
My uncle's a serviceman,
yeah.
too.
So it's like, it's not.
He works for BG&E, goes and does the HVAC systems. He serves those.
I despise you. But the thing is, people need to understand, this is our country, too.
Yeah.
This is the black people. This is our country, too. No matter how we got here, no matter how we were brought here, we live here. We pay taxes. This is our country, too. My Social Security number is leveraged for debt, too, just like anyone else's. So, you know, it's got to be understood that if we don't like it, then we have a voice and we can say it. It doesn't mean you don't love your home. If you didn't love your home, you wouldn't give a damn what happened in it.
So we need more people to step up and be okay, comfortable, be pro-black,
yeah,
be okay. And we have, and we as an agency are a multicultural agency from,
yes,
a staff perspective,
mm-hmm.
and from a client perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not saying these aren't our family, that we don't want these staff, that they're not a part of it, or that any, there's no reflection of that.
No. Uh-uh.
It's just saying that, hey, me as an African-American individual, I have to be proud about who I am.
About who you am.
I gotta,
yes.
And then I got to advocate for people, and not saying I don't have to advocate for everyone,
mm-hmm.
but I also have to do an extra effort of advocating for people who look like me, who come up in similar circumstances, because there's not many people advocating for you.
Exactly. So we should be friends to the friendless.
Yes.
We should be, I mean, even if you want to take it back to, you know, you have to look out for the orphan and the widow. You have to look out for, I think that you judge a society based upon how it treats its people who lack, who don't have. Anybody can treat a rich person well. You know, and people show a person with with power a lot of deference, but to have respect and to see that all of us are human beings and should be treated with equal dignity and respect, no matter what your, you know, matter what your race, no matter what your economic level, no matter what your social background, everyone should be treated with common decency and respect, and respect for human life.
But and it's hard. Not saying that it's hard to have respect for human life and everyone, but I'm saying, so what I'm saying is that we need people like this to step up, like what, the mindset that we have, that we're having, right, that we're sharing. The issue with that is, and especially it needs to be people who've done well as well.
Yes.
It does. I mean, just success doesn't mean that, hey, now you can be the advocate.
No.
Because there are people who are still working hard that are advocating and doing great work more than some people who've done success.
Absolutely.
But it's sometimes difficult for people who become successful from two angles.
Mm-hmm.
One, it's almost like when you become successful, your people can sometimes hate you or look down upon you, or like feel this need to like want to tear you down in some capacity, find a hole in you. And so then that could cause somebody to not want to feel like, hey, you know what? I'm trying to reach back. I'm trying to help. But if this is how you treat me, I'm just going to keep moving on about my life.
It's a lot of things involved. If you look at social stratification, it's twofold, actually. If you look at the concept of social stratification, it's that the people who do well don't tend to reach back and help the people who are struggling. So it's like, whew, I made it out of there. I'm done with that. And look at them. They can't do it. Like, there's some kind of a deficit. So what you have to think about is that when you have systemic oppression, to do well when you are part of the oppressed group, you're the anomaly. You're not, it's not the norm, it's the anomaly. And so to look at other people and say, well, if you can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps, then there's something wrong with you. And that's not true. So when you go into schools, and schools, we just had an issue in Baltimore where the schools didn't have, we didn't have proper heat in the middle of winter for the schools. So we're supposed to learn. So you
schools. Teachers make less than COs?
Yes.
That is crazy. So you pay somebody more
crazy like a
to make sure that somebody is detained, and you pay somebody less to make sure somebody's educated.
Yes. But if you think about it like that, you go into the schools and people can't focus and they can't concentrate because of all of the things that are going on in the school. It's lack of structure in the school, lack of resources in the school. But in addition to that, the issues that they're facing at home by living in high poverty and high crime neighborhoods. And not just that, but the environment itself. So if you focus on the homes, a lot of the homes have crumbling paint, lead paint poisoning. We know that lead paint causes frontal lobe damage.
We talked about that last time.
And yeah, and in addition to that, so that means
my
that I can't
isn't
reason.
That big either. I went and looked at after that conversation, I'm like,
but you look at that, so that means that you have a difficult time understanding and learning and your decision making and reasoning. That's number one. We have a lot of rodent rats in Baltimore City. We also have a lot of roaches in the city. That's a lot of impact on asthma. So you can't breathe, you can't think. And then in addition to that, we have food deserts, which means that you go to the corner store to have access for edible goods because it's not food. So your body's not even properly nourished.
True.
So all of these things go on, not to mention just the stress that's involved with trying to make sure that people are fed and kept safe. So you have the anxiety and the stress of living in these areas and you expect people to thrive. It's not enough that they're surviving, because if you take anybody in Baltimore City and you put them in any... Say it again.
I said, no, we're expecting them to BTST.
Exactly. So, but do you understand what I'm saying?
Word selection is very key.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Yeah, better some wrong stuff today.
Yes.
But you want to... But you're not expecting them to be beyond that. Anywhere else in the world, if you put the same scenarios, and let's say we were talking about Bosnia, and we say, oh, they can barely learn in school. They don't have the resources. There's not even heating in the schools. There's they don't have nutritious foods to eat. The atmosphere that they live in is toxic to their bodies. The stress that they're under is toxic to their families. You'd be like, oh my gosh, we've got to go. We've got to go in there. We've got to have a UN peacekeeping mission. People are shooting each other in the streets. What are we going to do? So everybody in the world would be up in arms about how to take care of these people. But we have this situation right here in America, but because these people have a darker hue, it's not a crisis.
I'm with you, and that's why we have to begin to advocate
for
ourselves as well, you know. But like I was saying, it's a catch-22, because when you make it, sometimes you want to advocate, help people advocate, because you may have a bigger platform, you may have a louder voice at the time. The people sometimes want to tear you down from that platform.
Yeah.
So how can you advocate for somebody that doesn't even want to see you there?
I do.
And then we as people have to really work. So we have to work with on ourselves, as far as like bridging that gap of hate towards each other, disdain towards each other, and work to build relationships that we can build and leverage and share wealth and share knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I want to get into what we can do as an organization. I mean, what we can do as a community and also organization, but I don't want to rush it, right?
Yeah.
So I think that we should maybe have a part two. Mm-hmm. And we can kick social work off, month off, talking
That's
about
awesome.
What type of programming and stuff we mm-hmm. can do. So we could spend just a few more minutes on this one so that we don't have to rush to what we can mm-hmm. do. And we can talk about that next time. And then the next one, we can also bring State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby in to talk about some things that she's doing and we can build with her on that.
So I think that that's a great idea.
Of course, but I came up with it.
Bye. But back to Black Panther, I think that it was so important because people have to see, you have to know what the possibilities are.
And you got to know proud.
You got to have pride.
I walked out of that movie feeling pride.
Yes.
I was like, man, us as Africans and African Americans, we are strong.
Yes.
Physically.
Yes.
Fast, athletic, but then the most creative and innovative people. And I'm not saying that, hey, because, you know, they always make reference that Chinese are Asians are some very smart people. You know what I'm saying?
They are, uh-huh.
But they're also given resources to be smart.
Mm-hmm.
In certain sections. I can't, you know, I don't want my ignorance to speak for me and say that, hey, every person that's smart in Asia has a wealth of resources.
I think the Asian people will tell you themselves that not everybody there is
smart. Yeah, exactly.
Just like it.
But no,
not every Black person can run fast.
Yeah, but I'm saying
I can attest to that myself.
Well, not every Black person has rhythm, right?
Right.
Because Montez don't
poor
have
nephew.
Any. Montez dance like he claps like he swipes.
He couldn't find the beat with a good
a
look.
Magnifying glass. But we are some of the, like given the least and being the most crafty to come up with some stuff. You know what I mean? Like that is a talent, and that makes me feel like. If you can do all of this with nothing, imagine what you can do with some resources. And that's mm-hmm. why I fight so hard. And that was like my motivation when I didn't have. I always just felt like if the playing fields were leveled, if me and some of my counterparts started at the same place and we both had this nest egg or this inheritance or whatever, my work ethic would take me and mm-hmm. across the finish line faster. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Because I've been able to do all of this with nothing.
With nothing.
With nothing. Mm-hmm. Think about, I mean, I know this may sound crazy, but they can make some creative meals with oodles and noodles. You know what I'm saying?
A whole casserole.
A whole casserole with oodles and noodles and some other stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, imagine what we could do with real resources. Look at the stuff we developed and come up with and technology and just things that we've provided to the world with uneducated school, I mean, with mm-hmm. undereducated schools, lack of resources, and all these other things. Tanya, our lawyer, mm-hmm. one of our attorneys comes from Woodlawn. She mm-hmm. went to Woodlawn High School,
mm-hmm.
went to Harvard
mm-hmm.
and Stanford,
mm-hmm.
started her own practice.
Yes, she's amazing.
Like, if you think about that,
mm-hmm.
coming from certain environments, we don't grow up thick. I mean, going to an HBCU is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
A community college is goals.
Mm-hmm.
But to go to Harvard and Stanford, think about that.
And you have to ask yourself, why are they the standard? But I think it's something to be said about a people whose ancestors can survive the Middle Passage, survive chattel slavery, survive Jim Crow, survive the crack epidemic of the 80s and 90s, survive all of these things, systemic racism and oppression, the school to prison pipeline. We survived all of these things. When you think about what that means, the strength, the courage of spirit, to me, it fills me with so much pride to know that I come from a people. No, I don't have my direct line to Africa, but I know that I come from a people who were survivors. And I always think about my situation. I say it here all the time. If we have a problem or something, I be like, listen, this ain't nothing to cry about.
Yeah.
You know, this is just problem solving. Our ancestors had something to cry about.
Yeah.
We figured this out.
Yeah,
you know?
And they've come up with so many different coping skills, being able to sing.
Resilient.
Being
yes.
able to dance
yes.
and still have joy.
Mm-hmm.
In
the midst of all of that. All you have to do is go on Black Twitter and you will realize that, like, no matter how
bad
it gets.
The
internet is undefeated. We will still find something to laugh at in a horrible
but
situation.
But it also that is a negative thing. When you find so much to laugh at, you almost don't take certain things serious.
Yeah,
you know what
you
I mean?
Gotta you got to be about your business.
Much.
Yep.
So... I think that what you said, the way you ended it with the how prideful and all this other stuff, I'm mm-hmm. going to leave it there.
Okay, Chris.
And so we're not even going to do it on a couch, sofa, chaise, ottoman, nothing
Black
today.
Couch. Okay.
Because I think we ended Black History Month strong.
I think so,
and we're going to keep it moving into next week with Social Work Month.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about how what we see, because mm-hmm. we have some great ideas. Mm-hmm. You think we should share?
Go ahead. You can.
I mean, you think we should share some of them next time?
I think we can.
We'll share them a little bit.
All right. We'll give it all to them.
Yeah, we can't give it. We can't give it all. And then we'll go from there. So this is us signing off. This is BTSE Podcast, meeting you where you are. We up out this piece. Mm-hmm. I'm going to my school homecoming.
All right.
University of Maryland, Eastern Shore.
The turnip is real.
Here I come. Taj Gym. Meet me on the yard. Backbone, you know. Yeah, I mean, we'll have a ball.
I'm just going to go see Black Panther again. Because you know how.
We out of here.